is special in the sense that it's a continuation of a series of shiurim that were given about 15 years ago in New York by our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha, who had intended at the time he spoke of giving a series of shiurim going through all of Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim and putting all of them onto tape. Unfortunately, he wasn't zeichet to complete this during his physical lifetime, and he passed away shortly after the time that he gave the last shiur that we have recorded in Sichos Aran, which is up to paragraph Resh Nun Ches in the Sefer Sichos Aran. Tonight we're going to attempt to continue that series of shiurim and to do the best we can to emulate the way that he would have presented these items, Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. In the next paragraph, Resh Nun Ches, Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded us a great deal about doing a lot of mitzvahs. He wanted us to do many mitzvahs. And Rav Nosson Zal says it appears that Rabbeinu Zal's kavona was, Rabbeinu Zal's intent was, that we should do mitzvahs also. Meaning, those that are familiar with Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim and the shiurim that he gave to his Talmidim, you could sum up in two words, basically, what his emphasis was to his Talmidim. And it was basically Torah and Tefillah. Those were the items that he put the most emphasis on. In Torah, the major emphasis was on the study of Torah, learning Torah Lishma, and naturally performing all of its mitzvahs, but heavy accentuation on the study of Torah and tefillah, all forms of tefillah, including the saying of Shachris Mincha Maariv with Kavona, including the saying of Tehillim, including the saying of all kinds of tchinois and bakoshois that are found in Sforim, in Sidurim. That was where the main stress was in all of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. Here, however, Rav Nosson Zal says that one time Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded us harshly about doing a lot of mitzvahs. And Rav Nosson Zal says specifically, lekabeitz nedovois velasoik begemilus chasodim ukiyotze bozer. He was referring specifically to collecting charity, raising money for tzedakah, and also to be oisek in gemilus chasodim, meaning for people to be doing favors for other people in every type of form and manner that it could be done. And Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal's words at that time in Yiddish, Rabbeinu Zal remarked, epis tutir gor kein mitzvesnit, which in English this translates to, it seems that somehow you're not doing any mitzvahs. This is what he said to his Talmidim. Now we know in reading stories about Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, we're talking about people that were very religious. Many of them devoted 18 hours a day, 24 hours a day to the study of Torah and to tefillah. The question is, what exactly did Rabbeinu Zal mean here when he said, epis tutir kein mitzvois nit, seems you're not doing any mitzvois. And it seems that what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to is something that applied to people then and also applies to people nowadays. There is a major yetzer hara among certain people within Yiddishkeit, certain very religious people, to focus all of their attention, or the vast majority of their attention, on two-thirds of Yiddishkeit. The two-thirds being Torah and Avodah, the study of Torah, and they could certainly support that and prove that by the statement that the Gemara makes, V'talmud Torah keneged kulam, that the study of Torah is greater than all mitzvahs, and Avodah referring nowadays specifically to tefillah. And people can easily tend, people, specifically those people that get very into the study of Torah and Tefillah to the point where they're devoting themselves, belev or nefesh, to these items, there is a special yetzer hara to overlook the third major section of Yiddishkeit, of what keeps the world turning, and that being Gemilus Chasodim, people going out of their way to look after the needs of other people, for a person to be yearning and searching for opportunities to be able to do somebody else a favor, to be able to give somebody else a nachas ruach. Or here specifically, Rabbeinu Zal addresses one additional item, that being raising fundraising, raising charity, implying not where a person is collecting for himself, but rather a person is going out of his way to help support Moistos of Torah, or Moistos of Tefillah, or to help support any major legitimate Jewish cause. And Rabbeinu Zal wanted to stress from his Talmidim that he didn't want this trap, he didn't want them to fall into this trap of missing out on this third major foundation of what keeps the world going. This is basically what Rabbeinu Zal said in this paragraph. To this, I'd like to add a very interesting item, something that I found extremely interesting and special, that I saw years ago in one of the Pirushim on Pirkei Avos. One of the outstanding tzaddikim during the time of the Baal Shem Tov is known as the Chido Zal. The Chido Zal was one of the great Sephardic rabbis who originally lived in Chutz Loretz and then was zeicha to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And he lived in Chevron, I believe, in Eretz Yisrael itself. And he was one of the major writers for Klal Yisrael in just about every area of Torah. In Halacha, we have his Pirush, the Birkei Yosef, on Shulchan Aruch, on all these sections of Shulchan Aruch, which is extremely highly regarded by both Sfardim and Ashkenazim. He's considered a major Poseik. And also many additional Sforim that he wrote on Drush, on Halacha, on Kabbalah, a Pirush on the Zohar HaKadosh, many Sforim that he wrote. One of the Chido Zal's major accomplishments in life, after having made Aliyat Eretz Yisrael, is that he was the one that was designated by the rabbis of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael to be the Shluch of the Rabbonon, to be the one to represent them leaving Eretz Yisrael, being forced to leave Eretz Yisrael, and travel in Chutz Loretz for a period of years. And his trip is actually documented in Sforim, how he traveled by donkey, not by plane, not by bus, but by ship and donkey, traveling through most of the major countries of Europe, collecting money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a great deal written about what interesting items happened to him on his travels to the different cities, the different receptions that he received in the different places, the different kibudim and bizyonos that he got in this process. One of the sforim that he wrote when he was very young, the Sefer Roshei David, is quoted in his Pirush de Pirkei Avos, which is Kisei Rachmim. In the Kisei Rachmim, which is the Pirush on Pirkei Avos, he quotes this Sefer that he wrote as a young man, and he mentions a very interesting Chiddush. We know that the Torah in many places speaks about serving Hashem in three major ways. One is B'machshova, the second is B'dibur, and the third is Maisa. There's a concept of serving Hashem in thought. There are mitzvahs in the Torah which relate to what a Jew is allowed to think about and what they're not allowed to think about. There are certain things which if a Jew thinks about them, that's considered an avera, going against Hashem. Thoughts of avodah zorah, hirhurei avodah zorah, or hirhurei pegam abris, those types of items. There's also a concept of thoughts of kedusha, which in fact, the next paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal is going to talk about this a great deal. But we find even in Shulchan Aruch, in Halacha, this concept of thought has a place in terms of accomplishing for Kedusha. We're going to discuss this in the next paragraph in Sichos Saran. That's one major area of serving Hashem. The second area is Bedibur, and there are many mitzvahs in the Torah, both Lois Aseh and Aseh, that relate to Dibur, what a person is allowed, what a person is mitzuvah to speak about, and what a Jew is not allowed to speak about. And the third area is maise, action, deeds that a person does to serve Hashem. Again, in both forms, lois asei and asei. The Zohar HaKadosh says that in the name that Hashem has given to mankind, in the word Adam, is reflected these three major areas. The Aleph stands for Machshava. Aleph, which is one, which is the beginning, stands for the top, the Rosh, the head, the thought process. The Dalet stands for Dibur, and the Mem stands for Machshava. These are the three... Maisa. The Mem stands for Maisa. These are the three major ways that a Jew serves Hashem. The Chidozal says that based on this, we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where the Mishnah says that there are three items that support the world. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasodim. The Chidozal says that Avodah in this case refers to Yiras Shomayim. We know the Gemara uses the term Avodah Shebelev, Avodah that's done with the heart. And the Torah says, Dovor HaMosur Lelev Nemar Boi V'Yoreisa Melekecha, that what's in a Jew's heart is their fear of Hashem. That's something that's not necessarily visible. You could have people who on the outside are studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, but the Torah and the mitzvah is lacking in punch, in power, because there's a lack of Yirah Shemayim behind it to really give it its true strength. So the Yirah Shemayim, the Avodah, is something that relates to Machshava, to the heart, to the thought process. The Torah is the Avodah B'dibur. We learned just last night, the Gemara in Erevin, which says, Ki Chayim Heim L'Moitzi'ehem B'peh, the Torah gives life to those who give forth its words, who speak its words. There are many psukim stressing dibur of Torah. That's the dibur, Torah. And gemilas chasodim is the example of maise, serving Hashem the maise. These three items, which represent machshava, dibur, and maise, avoida, Torah, and gemilas chasodim, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, these three items support the world. The Chidozal says, now we'll show you something very interesting. We know that Hashem created a malach whose purpose is he is the obstacle preventing a Jew from doing what he has to do to serve Hashem or to support the world. This malach, as we basically know him, is known as the Soton. However, those that know a little bit more know that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that there's nothing in this world that does not come in the form of both Zohar and Nekeva, male and female. Every single item in this world is either male, or Zohar, or Nekeva, or both. And the Zohar HaKadosh stresses that just as in Kedusha there is a concept of Zohar and Nekeva, Kaviyochel, when we do a mitzvah, we say that one of the reasons, one of the main reasons for our doing a mitzvah is L'shem Yichud Kud Shebarichu Ushchintei, that the purpose of our doing the mitzvah is to unite Hashem and the Shekhinah, which represent symbolically a heavenly Zohar and a Keva. So too, in Tuma also, when we discuss the Soton, there's also not one, but there are two symbols of the Soton. We find that one of these symbols is mentioned in the Gemara in several places, an angel by the name of Samach Mem. His full name is spelled Samach Mem and then Aleph Lamed. Just as most Maluchim's names end in the word Kael, this angel's name is Samach Mem, Kael. Samach Mem referring to poison, death. Because we know the Torah tells us that the Soton and the angel of death, the Malach HaMoves, are one and the same. The Chidozal says, quoting the Sifrei Kabbalah, that this angel, the Samach Mem, represents the Zohar of the Soton. There is a female counterpart also that's mentioned in Sforim, mentioned throughout the Torah, that's known as the Malach Lil, Lamed Yud, then Lamed Yud Tov. That's the full name of this malach. And these malachim are discussed in great detail in the Zohar HaKadosh, They're referred to in the Gemara also. The Arizal, the other Sforim, speak a great deal about them. These two make up the total package of the Soton. The Chidozal says, we know that the Gemara, the Torah, is very particular about names. When an angel has a certain name, the name is a reflection of the mission of that angel and the strength of that angel. We know that the Gemara tells us in one place, Hashem says, Borosi Yetzer Hara, I have created a Yetzer Hara, Borosi Torah Tavlin, and I've created a neutralizing force for the Soton. There is an equal opposite force that a person could use to neutralize the Soton. What is it? The Torah. The Chidozal says, I'll show you why. I'll show you exactly how this works. Because the Soton, in his total format, Zohar and Akeva, the Malach Samach Mem, which is Bigimatria 131, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, is Bigimatria 131. The Nekeva portion, Lil, Lamed Yud Tov, is Bigimatria 480. Together, they are Bigimatria 611, which is the exact Gematria of the word Torah. Tov, Vov, Resh, Hei. So now we could understand where the Gemara says, Hashem says, I've created a Yetzirah over here, on this side. On the opposite side of the seesaw, there is the Torah. These two are equal opposite forces. If you'll make a commitment to Torah, automatically you have an equalizing force to the Satan. The Satan will not be able to have an achiza on you. Interesting. The Chidozal says, let's take this further, however, because the Mishnah in Perkei Avos seems to say that there are two other items that are on par with Torah. One is Avodah, which includes Karbonos. It includes Tefillah, which is in place of Karbonos. And it also includes Yiras Shamayim, because Yiras Shamayim is a symbol of Tefillah. Isha Yiras Hashem, he tishalol, the Pasuk says. A woman who has fear of Hashem, she davens. So that Tefillah, Avodah, is an example of Yiras Hashem. The Chidozal says, therefore, Avodah is put on par with Torah. We can easily see this, because the word Yiras, fear of Hashem, the word Yiras is again, Tov Resh Yud Aleph, 611 exactly. So we see that the second item, Avodah Tefillah, has equal strength to Torah. This is another item that's an equal neutralizing force to the Soton. Now we come to the third item that the Mishnah mentions, which is serving Hashem b'maisa, with actions, which the Mishnah refers to as Gemilus Chasodim. The Chidozal says, if you take your calculator, you'll see that the words Gemilus Chasodim are exactly Bigimatria 611. So that here we see that these three items that the Mishnah is presenting, a Jew is not permitted to assume that any one of them has any greater koyach than the other. Number one. And number two, therefore, a Jew is not supposed to give any one any preference over the other. The fact that a Jew is totally committed to Torah and to Tefillah does not give that person permission to overlook this third item, serving Hashem b'maiseh, which the Mishnah puts all mitzvahs maiseos under the heading of gemilus chasodim, specifically looking to do favors, to provide assistance for other people, one example of which is raising money for charity. So that here we see how all three of these items are of great significance. All three of them represent koichos that a person could use to wipe out the Soton completely. And this is why we stress so much that a person who wants to be religious has to make sure that all three of these items are constantly involved in all three of these items. This is where Rabbeinu Zal's Teichochot his Talmidim was, that he wanted to see more mitzvahs maisis from them. It's not enough for a Ben Torah to be sitting in a yeshiva learning and davening only. That's not an option. Otherwise, he's cutting away one third of the definition of Yiddishkeit. this last third, this final third, which represents Maisa, which is in a sense the Gemar, the conclusion, the Chasima, that's totally in this concept of Mitzvos Maisius. The next paragraph, paragraph Reish Nun Tes, 259, Rav Nosson Zal writes that one time Rabbeinu Zal said that thirst is a very great desire, seeming to imply many people are aware of the problem of taivas achila, the desire for food, something that has people preoccupied, certain people 24 hours a day, certain people 25 hours a day, and a concept of a person feeling a strong desire for achila. And we find that the Meforshim stress that within achila, there are two parts, achila and shtia, eating and drinking, and the term taiva, desire, is more closely associated with shtia. When a person is thirsty, the intense feelings of desire that they have for liquid are stronger than a person's feelings when they're hungry are for food. This is an item that's mentioned in the Meforshim. Rabbeinu Zal discussed this point, the fact that tzimoin, thirst, is a very great taiva. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that I understood from Rabbeinu Zal's words that he wanted to stress the importance of thirsting for Hashem, of a person yearning and feeling an intense desire that's included in this word thirst, to be thirsting for Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal was stressing that this is one of the highest items in religion. Just as a person who's extremely thirsty, when that person finally gets to water, the person experiences a pleasure, an unbelievable pleasure from drinking this water based on the extreme thirst that they were experiencing. So we see therefore that there is this tainug godoil, an extraordinary pleasure from satisfying one's thirst. So too, Rabbeinu Zal said, regarding a person who's zeiche to arouse inside of themselves a thirst for coming close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when we talk about the concept of pleasure in Olam Haba, the type of pleasure that a Jew is going to experience in Olam Haba, in the world to come, that's where the Jews are going to be zeiche to achieve the highest level of thirsting for Hashem, of this Ratzon for Hashem, that's known in the Zohar HaKadosh as the term Raiva Deraivin, or in Hebrew, Ratzon Sheberetzonos, desire of desires. This is one of the descriptions that's given of the peak of Kedusha that a Jew will be zeichet to experience in Olam Haba. And that's actually the term that's used to refer to the histalkus of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Zohar HaKadosh discusses the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he left this world, the Zohar HaKadosh uses the terminology that he left this world, and the place that he entered into was called Raivo Deraivin, Rotzoin Sheberetzoinos, which means the most intense level of desire, of thirst to come close to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal makes mention of the fact that in the Zohar HaKadosh, it discusses a concept of 400 worlds of kisufin, 400 worlds of yearning that tzaddikim will be zeichet to inherit in Olam Haba. And the Zohar HaKadosh bases this where the Torah discusses the passing away of Sora Imenu, who represented one of the greatest tzidkoniyos of all time. And the Torah tells us that when Avraham Avinu bought the plot in which he was buried in, the Moras Samachpelah, he bought it for Arba Meos Shekel Kesef, 400 shkolim of silver. The Zohar HaKadosh says Kesef is Miloshen Kisufa. Kisufin, Lichsoif in Hebrew, also means to yearn, to desire. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this is one of the bases in the Torah Shebichsav for this concept of these 400 worlds of kisufin, of yearning, that tzaddikim are zeichet to when they pass away. They enter into this madrega called Arba Meos Shekel Kesef. And Rabbi Nizal says it's then when a person passes away, that's when the person is zeicha to have the purest type of thirst and yearning for Hashem, and that this represents the greatest pleasure of Olam Haba. When a person is zeicha to achieve the purest degree of thirsting and yearning to come close to Hashem. Now this item, this term rotzoin, desire, or kisufin, yearning, or hishtekikus and giaguin, these are all terms that are used very often in Rabbi Nizal and Rav Nosson Zal Sforim, and in general in Sifrei Chassidus and in Sifrei Kabbalah. There's a great deal of discussion about these items. We're going to mention a few of the interesting items that are mentioned in Rabbi Nizal Sforim and Rav Nosson Zal Sforim regarding this item of rotzoin, desire, how great a place this holds within Yiddishkeit. A person's wanting to do a mitzvah, or a person's wanting to come close to Hashem, that alone. Rabbi Nizal makes a statement in another place, where Rabbi Nizal says that the Iker Hishavus HaNefesh, the main existence of a Jewish soul, and the main way of bringing a Nefesh Dikdusha into existence, is through Ratzon, through desire. Every single time that a Jew feels a desire for a Dovar Toiv, a Jew thinks, I want to study Torah, I want to get up early for davening, I want to help somebody. Every time a person has a Rotzoin Toiv, in a sense, that creates a Nefesh Toiv. That creates an actual Nefesh. Rabbi Nizal says, proof to this is that we find that the word Nefesh in Hebrew actually means Ratzoin. We find there's a pasuk when Avram Avinu, in the same topic, when Avram Avinu was going to bury his wife Sarah, one of the statements that he made to the Bnei Ches was where he said, Im yesh es nafshechem likboer es meisi, if you want to allow me to bury my wife, then introduce me to Ephraim ben Soichar. He used the word im yesh es nafshechem, and the Gemara or Rashi HaKodesh points out that nafshechem there means retzonchem, your rotzoin, if you want. So that we see that these two words are actually used interchangeably. Rabbi Nizal says that there are times when we see a person who's been a Rosha his whole life, and suddenly one day he wakes up and he does tshuva. The question is, where does he get the fire? Where does he get the strength and the power to be able to do tshuva? Rabbi Nizal says quite often, that nefesh of kedusha that was injected into him was created through ritzonos toivos of other Jews. Jews who are constantly thinking of wanting to do mitzvos, there are many times that a person wants to do a mitzvah and they don't actually get to do it. What happens with that desire? Does that go lost? The answer is chas v'sholim. One of the most famous statements in the Zohar HaKadosh that's quoted in Sforim throughout is the statement leis re'usa tava de'is'avid. There's no such thing as a rotzoin toiv on the part of a Jew that goes lost completely. That never happens. So the question is, what happens if I have a good desire to do a mitzvah and I end up not doing the mitzvah? Where does that rotzoin toiv go? Rabbi Nizal says quite often those rotzoinos toivos are packaged, and when enough of them are added up together, they form an actual nefesh. This nefesh, at the right time, enters into a rosha and is machziroi lemutov. When a rosha suddenly feels a hisoirus, he doesn't know from where it came from. One day he wakes up in the morning and it's like a brick hit him in the head and he suddenly decides he wants to be good. That came from nowhere? The answer is chas v'sholem. That came from these ritzoinois toivois that Jews have, which quite often do not complete themselves in Maisa, and yet these ritzoinois are bound together until they form a strong enough unit. These ritzoinois, these nefashois, enter together into a rosha, their nisaber in him, and there they bring him this hisoirus that he needs to be chozer b'tshuva. On the opposite end of the pendulum, Rabbi Nizal says, Unfortunately, the same thing holds true, that a Jew has to be careful to watch themselves from even wanting to do something bad, wanting to do something wrong, or having a desire for something that doesn't belong to you. Why? Because Rabbi Nezal says we find cases also of people that are tzaddikim for a certain period of time, and one day suddenly we find this tzaddik going south, going off the right path and turning sour and spoiling. And Rabbi Nezal says, unfortunately, there are times where what causes that is these ritzonos ro'os. When Jews allow themselves to have a desire for something bad, for something wrong, these ritzonos, Rachmon al-Tzlan, can also form nefoshos, a nefesh of tumah, and these nefoshos of tumah can actually harm either the person himself or other Jews, chas v'shom. Even tzaddikim at times could be harmed by these ritzonos rois. So that in effect we find that it's extremely important for a person to train themselves to constantly be yearning for good things. Constantly, even if he can't do a mitzvah, even if he can't learn that moment, even if he can't daven, to want to learn, to want to daven, to want to help somebody. I wish I had the money to solve this person's problem. That rotzain alone is a tremendous accomplishment of Kedusha. Rabbi Nezal stresses, however, that this rotzain alone creates a nefesh bekoyach. It creates a nefesh in theory. What makes this nefesh become tangible and ma'asi is when a person speaks the ritzonos. When a person takes it a step further, and besides saying in my mind or in my heart, I want to do good, if a Jew is zeche to spend time during the day saying to Hashem, expressing verbally these ritzonos of Kedusha, saying to Hashem, I wish I could learn better than I'm learning now, or more. I wish I could give more money to tzedakah. Expressing these ritzonos verbally, that's what takes these nefoshos from koyach to poyal, from theory into maise. It makes these nefoshos actually become active in a sense of accomplishing. So that here it becomes very important to follow through the rotzoin with dibur, with speech. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why Rabbi Nezal stressed so much a Jew setting aside time during the day to speak with Hashem, to express these ritzonos toivos, or to say to Hashem, I don't want to do the wrong thing. Even if you see me doing the wrong thing, Hashem, don't think it's because that's what I want. I really don't want to do the wrong thing. It's only the satan, the sa'ur shabisa, that's twisting my arm, that's forcing me to do it. And a person simply saying this alone is considered a major accomplishment of expressing this ritzon toiv. Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos that to show how far this goes, a person should know that with ritzonos toivos alone, a person can actually be mamlich Hashem. The fact that a Jew says, I want to do something to serve Hashem, that alone represents the act of putting a crown, kaviyochel, on Hashem's head. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we see a remez to this in the Kaddish, where one of the sentences that we say in the Kaddish, we say, Bi'olmo divaro chir'use, in the world that Hashem has created, chir'use, which means kifi ritzonoi, according to his ratzon, v'yamlich malchuse, and may his kingdom be strengthened, be heightened. And Rav Nosson Zal brings a connection between this chir'use, v'yamlich malchuse, that the more a person is zeche to be nichlal in the rotzain of Hashem, the more a person is zeche to want what Hashem wants, the more that person is actually mamlich Hashem. We find that one of the outstanding ceremonies that a Jew performs during the year is on the night of Pesach. We have the Seder. Quite often, even those Jews that are the least religious, at least this much, this minimal degree of religion they keep, that they have a Seder on Pesach night. The Meforshim speak a great deal about the 13 items that a Jew is required to do during the Seder. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, and regarding the great lights, heavenly lights, that are turned on by a Jew being mekayim these items within the sequence. However, we find that the 14th item, the climax of the entire Seder, is called Nirtza. What is Nirtza? What do we do for Nirtza? The answer is we do nothing. What do we say for Nirtza? The answer is we just about say nothing in a sense. We say the Hallel. That represents to a degree the Nirtza, but the main emphasis of the word Nirtza is the fact that a person is supposed to stop to think that their avoda, that their mitzvahs that they did were nisratze, that Hashem accepted it, meaning that they were oile lerotzoin, that these actions, this whole ceremony that I did, this whole avoda that I did tonight, was accepted willingly by Hashem, lerotzoin. Just as all the karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash that were brought, we find that it's mentioned many times in the Chumash that the purpose of these karbonos were lerotzoin lifnei Hashem. So that the name that's given to the highest level of Kiddusha, the climax, is called Nirtza, or Rotzain. The Arizal brings that Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented the greatest tzaddik that ever lived, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Nistalek, when he rose up, we know that when a tzaddik passes away, he achieves a higher level than he was on during his lifetime. We mentioned recently that the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vatechasrehu ma'at me'elikim, that during his lifetime, he was a little bit lower than Hashem. And the Gemara translates this to mean that kavyocha, when we talk about Hashem, when we talk about perfection, perfection is represented by the 50 levels of Bina, 50 levels of wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu, during his physical lifetime, achieved 49 of these. He was zeichet to 49 of the 50 levels of Bina. The Meforshim bring, however, that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away and he was stripped of his body, all that remained was his neshama. In the word neshama, the Arizal says, there is a remez to Moshe Nun, that in the form of the neshama, the soul, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved the 50th level. And this is why the Torah tells us that the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried was called Har Nevoi, the mountain of Nevoi. The Arizal says Nevoi is two words, Nun, Boi. The 50th level was achieved on it. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Nistalik, he went from 49 to 50. Now the question is, what's the name of that 50th level that Moshe Rabbeinu rose up to? The Zohar HaKadosh says the name of that level is Rotzoin. Proof is that Moshe, Mem Shin He, is Bigimatria 345. Rotzoin, Reish Tzadik Vov Nun, is Bigimatria 346. It's Moshe plus one. When Moshe goes up, it becomes Rotzoin. That's the level into which Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. That's the name of that level. It's called Rotzoin. So great, so holy is this Madrega of good desire, having a desire, a cheshek for Toiv. Rav Nosson Zal also makes mention of the fact that as far as a Jew saying that they did a mitzvah, it's very difficult for a person to really accept credit for doing. One of the reasons being, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, "Bechol yoim v'yoim yitzroi shel adam misgaber olav," that each and every single day, the Yetzirah becomes stronger and stronger against the person, blocking the person from doing mitzvahs, from doing ma'asim tovim. And the Gemara says, "Ve'ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael," and were it not for Hashem helping us, hayanoifel biyodoi, we would certainly fall victim to the Satan. We would certainly do averos. We would certainly be prevented from doing mitzvahs. So we see that the Gemara seems to be giving major credit to Hashem, not to us. The Gemara says clearly, were it not for Hashem's help, you could never do the mitzvah. The Satan would easily defeat you in this battle. So that in a sense, Rav Nosson Zal says, for a person to feel that they're taking credit for doing a mitzvah, extremely difficult. Where is the credit? Where is the nachas that Hashem gets from a Jew? The ikar nachas that Hashem gets from a Jew is from the ritzonos. When the Jew wants to do a mitzvah, when a Jew is yearning to do a mitzvah, that part comes from within the person themselves. That's what you can really give to Hashem. And that's the ikar nachas, the main satisfaction that Hashem gets from a Jew, is when a Jew is constantly occupied and preoccupied with this thought, I want to please Hashem. From the minute a person wakes up in the morning, during all their waking hours, constantly thinking, I want to, I wish I could serve Hashem. I wish I could please Hashem. I wish I could avoid doing what's going to bring displeasure to Hashem. That's where the nachas comes in, the main nachas comes in. It's interesting to note, there's a medrash that says that if a Jew ever tries to come to Hashem and to say, I did a mitzvah, Hashem could easily laugh that person off. You're coming to show off, you gave me something, Hashem says. I'll show you what I have to say for you. What did you give me? You gave me a mezuzah? I gave you a house. You gave me a little mezuzah that cost $30? I gave you a house that cost $100,000. What did you give me? Tzitzis? I gave you clothing. I gave you a whole suit of clothing. Socks, shoes, pants, shirt, undershirt, hat, tie, suit, the whole bit. And the Medrash goes on to list a whole series of items where Hashem says, "Mi hekdimani va'ashalim loy." Let somebody come and show me that they've done something for me, and I'll pay. I'll pay. And the Medrash says that Hashem could chas v'shalom easily laugh off our mitzvahs by saying that just about you gave meiser, you gave $10 to tzedakah. I gave you 90. You kept 90 for yourself. So that again, just about every mitzvah, to a great degree, was shown in the mitzvah itself that we're really on the receiving end. We're not really doing the giving, we're doing the taking. Elomai, the Roikeach says, therefore, the Iker Madrega of Tzadik, the Iker case where a person could feel that he's doing something for Hashem, is by the Rotzoin, the desire, the Cheshek for the mitzvah. And he brings a proof for this from the first pasuk in Parshas Noach. The pasuk begins, Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik. These are the children of Noach. And the pasuk doesn't make any mention of his children at all. It doesn't say a word about his children. It says, Noach ish tzadik. Noach was a tzadik. So the Gemara asks, where's his children? So the Gemara says, toldosein shel tzadikim, hey mitzvos umaisim tovim. The children, the main children and produce of a tzaddik is his tzidkus, his good deeds, his mitzvos umaisim tovim. So the Roikeach says, but we just said that the mitzvos aren't really much, because even in the mitzvos, that's not your toldos, that's Hashem's toldos. So the Roikeach says, take a look at the words noyach ish tzaddik. Take a look at the conclusion. The bottom line is always at the end. Take a look at the end, the last letter of Noach Ish Tzadik Ches Shin Kuf Cheshek. You want to know what the toldos of Noach is? You want to know what the mitzvah of a tzaddik is? It's not the mitzvah itself that has so much chashivas by Hashem, as much as the cheshek for doing the mitzvah. What Hashem gets the greatest nachas out of is when Hashem sees that a person really wants, when a person runs to shul. The going to shul is special. The running to shul, that's 10 times as special. When a person shows an av, a chiba for a mitzvah, person kisses the tefillin before putting them on. Is kissing tefillin a mitzvah? No. It's the cheshek for the mitzvah. A person stands up for the Torah. The Torah comes in. A Talmud Chacham comes in. Is standing up for the Torah, is that learning Torah? No. But it's showing the cheshek, the rotzoin, the ahava that the person has for the mitzvah. And this is an item that Rabbeinu Zal stresses in this paragraph, Resh Nun Tes, to a very great deal. And we're going to have more on this in the next paragraph, in paragraph Resh Samach, 260. Halavai, we should be zeche to realize how significant a role this item plays in Yiddishkeit, so that even when a person is feeling down over how little they've done, how little they've accomplished, person knows that this item is always available to them. This is something that could never be taken away from a Jew if they don't give up. If a person gives up, chas v'shalom, they give up hope, that's when even the rotzon falls apart. But no matter what level a person is on, as long as a person is still yearning, I wish I could go to shul, I wish I could be learning, I wish I could be giving more, all of these rotzonos, these are something that are considered very precious to Hashem, especially when it's sincere. We're talking about a case where a person really means it. However, we should be zeche to the type of rotzon that Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal were discussing here, and the zechus of these rotzonos toivos, we should be zeche to get to see in our time the culmination of what's going to be built out of these rotzonos, which is the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.
Amen. Amen.